Welcome to Took Talk, a video podcast by the band Took, and brought to you by Black Frog Media. We chat with the best in the music industry from yesterday and today, with a focus on the good old days of Canadian rock. This episode originally streamed live on Tuesday, December 1st, 2020 on Facebook Live. Now, here are your hosts, Todd, Brent, Shane, Corey, and Darren.
Hey guys.
Oh, I got Tim Hortons, eh? I've got my
nice, Shane.
You see this? Anybody know what this is?
Rose Apothecary. Apothecary. Is that how you say that?
Oh, that's correct. From Schitt's Creek. Exactly.
Oh, okay.
Let's get those mugs up again. Who has the biggest D?
You do.
You have the only D. And it looks like it's a 3D D, it looks like.
I got Tokyo.
Three times Mount the D.
Mount Fuji Temple.
Oh, it's Mount Fuji. Yeah, it's great.
Welcome to Took Talk, everybody.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Episode 40-something.
We are your
hosts.
Holy
host. Shit. Are you serious? 40-something?
I think. Oh, my God. I lost track.
Wow.
We are really insane.
Corey, you're our statistician. Where are we at?
I don't know.
How did he get labeled?
I don't know.
You're welcome to it. Though.
He seems to know all this stuff
because I'm working at the census now. That's not a job.
The Census Bureau of Took. Yeah,
Census Bureau of Took. Yeah.
How's everybody doing? I heard today Los Angeles is now on complete lockdown. Is that correct?
I didn't get the official word. I knew that they were trying to lock it down, and maybe that's happened. So you probably know more than I do.
Well,
have you
left the house today without getting shot with a beanbag?
No. Well, yes, I went and walked my dogs.
Oh, okay. Well, then.
Are you allowed to be on StreamYard? Are you allowed to be on the internet? You might want to. If the door gets burst down as we're doing this,
that's a good question.
Makes for great viewing.
Will they shut your water down if I come over and visit?
They were threatening that, weren't they?
You might.
Yeah, I heard Sadie saying some crazy. What,
to turn off your utilities?
Yeah, that was a threat. Yeah,
apparently, at some parties.
Criminal. Yeah.
They've had some parties in the past here in houses that were like hundreds and 200s of people. And the city actually shut down their electricity.
Wow.
Remotely. Amazing, yeah. Right?
YouTuber that like rented some, mansion in Beverly Hills, and there's like 1,000 kids come over and they just
That's crazy.
Well, they have to just put a chalkboard up and call it a classroom and you're all good, so it's okay.
There you go. They're getting taught something. School of Hard Knocks.
Where's Fitzer? What's he doing over there?
He's back inside.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you got a coffee?
Oh, coffee. Okay. Yeah, that's important.
Not included.
That's important.
Right on.
63 in Vegas, you said, Todd?
That's what I just read. Yeah, 63 degrees.
Record temperatures up here as well. +1 on December 1. I don't even remember.
Wow. Yeah.
I don't that's even remember nice. The last time that you could say that it was plus anything in December.
Gonna have to start calling you guys Summer Peg.
Not quite, but yeah, it's getting there.
Wow, 80. Get out of here. Really?
Yep.
That's 63. But real feel 66, just so you know.
Real feel, is that what they mean by like when we say like it's +1 but -5 with the wind chill? You guys, the real feel is
so.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
I think so.
So what does that account for? The humidity or?
I don't know, but that's what it's like in Vegas. It'll say, 98, but real feel 101. So it basically just means it's hot, but it's really, really hot.
Right.
Okay. Right. That's good to know.
Canadians out there.
Ooh. What do you got there?
27 degrees Celsius. It's pretty nice. It's a beautiful day here. Absolutely.
Metric system, yeah.
So what's new? Anywhere. Anything new? Anybody got anything to report?
Not really, no. It feels like, I don't know about you guys, but my biggest report during this whole thing is I feel like it's a succession of Fridays. It's just every day is Friday. It feels like there might be a day or two in between where I'm like, then all of a sudden I go, what day is this? It's Friday. It's Friday again? Except for Tuesdays. I always know Tuesdays. Other than that,
it's like every 7 days it's Friday again. I don't know.
That's actually accurate as could be. But it just feels like it's like always like the weeks go so fast. It's been the slowest and fastest year of my life. It's December. It's December 1st.
I can't believe it's December.
It's like the week flew by. It's like we were just doing this like 3 days ago, it seems like.
I know.
Yeah. So, yeah. Because we don't do anything in between.
That's right. Yeah. So, literally sit here. I just didn't do this.
Like, yeah. just, you know, taking note and practicing for your next trivia challenge.
No, God, I actually did not do that. I probably should have.
No, it's, yeah, it's all good.
Gordon Pinsman, Donald Sutherland. Who is Donald Sutherland?
Exactly. But we do have a lot of information.
Did you guys see The Undoing yet?
Yeah, The Undoing, the HBO series. Yeah, of course.
Oh, my God.
Of course I've seen it.
Awesome.
Yeah. No, it's really great. Yeah. It's kind of a murder mystery. Hugh Grant, the delightful Nicole Kidman, and Donald Sutherland, oddly enough, Canadian. Secret Canadian.
I think we all have to upgrade our cameras now because Corey looks like he's doing an interview for True Hollywood Story here.
It's pretty sweet, right?
Yeah.
Are you...
Did you get a big bonus for the Grammy nod? That's what we were
going to say. There you go. I think he's reporting from the set of Days of Our Lives, perhaps. I'm not quite sure.
Yes, exactly. Well, you got to do what you got to do in these unprecedented times.
The best thing ever would be like if Corey Chirico was cast as Corey Chirico on a soap opera like that. Just kind of like, and then what about Corey
Chirico? That'd be awesome.
And they Corey all their himself.
What do you think, Corey Chirico? Like, they always call you by both names. They never
remember when Rick Springfield was on General Hospital?
Yeah, of course. Everybody remembers that, yeah. He was he's so back. Dreamy. He went back.
Well, he was dreamy.
What was his name? Like Dr. Noah Drake or something like
That's
that?
That's it. Yeah, good one.
Wow, how did I pull that out?
You guys know that.
Because I know that Joey on
Drake
Friends
Ramirez.
Drake Ramirez. Yeah, I think that was Ramirez. Based on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
on Noah Drake. I just thought that was ridiculous.
See, you know a lot of useless stuff. You should be good at trivia.
And it's not useless, though.
It is for times like this. I mean, it's great for, you know.
Are we doing Jeopardy today?
Well, who is Lauren Green? Who's Lauren Green? That's my answer.
No, we didn't put together a board today, but.
All right.
Yeah,
I'm not coming back unless we do Jeopardy every time.
Well, I mean, that's fine. But I mean, I figured, you know, we got to, pace it out too. I mean, that way I'm thinking we should take some questions from the audience. People can submit questions.
Idea.
And then it could be like Stump the Toque, you know, like people can send in stuff because even though we started out trying to make this all Canadian, you guys travel all over the world. It would be cool to also maybe
not currently.
Wow. Okay. Well, all the more reason why we should brush up on some of this international travel and we can get some trivia from all over. So we'll set that up. And then in which case we can come back with another one, even though we want people to know
personalized questions, like what do I have in my fridge? Then that's really difficult. You know?
Yeah. Who are three people that have never been in my kitchen? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All of us have been in your kitchen, so there you go.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. No, but I didn't mean to just dance past that, though. There is big news this week, and you guys reported that the soundtrack that you were on for Bill and Ted is up for a Grammy. That's huge.
That's so cool. That's so cool. Yeah.
So, what's the deal? How does that happen? I mean,
really quickly,
we know. Like, just talk a little.
Who are you wearing tonight? Who are you wearing tonight, Corey Chirico?
Yeah, exactly.
Zero Wang.
Well, that's so I get nominated for a Grammy, and it's the year that COVID happens, and I can't even go.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's not fair.
That's not fair at all.
When is it?
Maybe the Grammys in February.
They're usually in February. Yeah,
it was last night, Shane. It was last night.
Damn it!
They may still have it, you know, to some degree, some capacity.
That's so exciting. Maybe. That's really cool.
Yeah, it hasn't
hired me, Corey.
Yeah, no problem. You killed it.
Do you know?
And you're the first thing we hear. You're the first thing we hear on the project.
Yeah, we kind of fall apart.
The drums come in. Yeah, it's like when, if anybody's seen the movie, the very last Save the World song when the band gets up on a flatbed trailer and they start jamming and they don't have the song yet, so they're like trying to figure it out. So actually, Shane was in your studio there where you're sitting, and you're watching the video. We got the video up. And we got Pro Tools going. And you're like trying to match visually what's going on with the drummer in the movie. So you're the first person we hear.
That's how that works. You're like literally just watching the screen and trying to John Williams your way through the thing.
Exactly. Yeah. When you see the symphony and the big screen in the background and conductors conducting to the movie, that's what we're doing. But we had a much smaller version.
Well, I have a remote screen, you know, in my drum room. Yeah. So kind of watching that and then just kind of mining to what they were.
And then Death, one of the characters in the movie, is he starts to play a bass line over top of the drums. And so we don't know what he's playing either. So, of course, being Death, we thought, well, why doesn't he play the Death March?
Yeah.
Do. But he's trying to figure it out too. So it's kind of a botched version of that. We didn't think they'd keep it, but they did.
Does anybody have the rights to that song?
I think it's
Death March.
Public domain. It's pretty old, I think.
Wow, that Death guy got ripped off.
Yeah, totally.
You'll find out if you win the Grammy, and then
yeah, exactly.
Talking, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Who else was in the running? I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't.
Frozen, the movie Frozen.
Oh, you're dead.
Frozen.
I know.
Too.
Anything Disney, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not sure the other people, but yeah. Anyway, it's pretty cool.
A document that acknowledges that you were nominated, because just the document would be.
Yeah, you should.
That
have
would be cool.
Have.
Yeah, for sure.
Like something you could put on your wall.
I tell you one thing. I just got a lot more expensive.
You have no idea what this is costing us.
And
right
you
now.
Spent it all on the new camera. Look at that. Look at your
hair. Yeah, nice, exactly. Right?
Looks good.
Exactly. Look at that. John Collins wants her camera back. Sorry. Can I take that again? Elizabeth Taylor wants her camera back. One more. Sophia Loren wants her. Never mind.
Exactly. We just keep running. So this is, we could go all day here, but
yeah.
We have somebody waiting. So
we do.
Oh, we might as well bring on our guest this week.
Okay.
Yes.
Corey, you want to do the honors?
All right. So today is exciting. One of the bands that we have covered is, of course, Saga. And we have the keyboard player from Saga. It's so exciting. Jim Gilmore is here. And he has played with Saga for over 40 years. I don't even know how many albums they have, but it's
22. Studio.
It's like it's like over 300 songs.
Shane was thinking that was going to be a question today.
What is 22 songs? 22 albums.
He's the consummate keyboard player because he's an excellent like pianist, but he also knows technology. He knows how to program synths, and so I mean, if you want to hire somebody and he wasn't in Saga, that would be the guy. He's also played with Toronto. Until COVID happened, he was playing some gigs with Toronto as well with our good friend Barry Connors, who was on the show. And he's good friends with Barry as well. And without further ado, he's also a great singer too. And
he really is.
Yeah. So just an all-around, well-rounded musician. We're so excited and happy and fortunate to have him on Took Talk. Please welcome to the show, Jim Gilmore.
Yeah. Woo!
Booyah!
Hey,
how's it going, eh?
How's it going, eh?
Good, eh?
Welcome to the Great White North, eh?
That'll take off, eh?
We got a big storm today.
Yeah,
I love your backdrop there. The gold records.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, the gold records.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Oh wow, yeah.
Hey.
A couple of them got lost in transit years ago, so who knows?
Oh, my goodness.
Where are you right now, Jim?
Toronto.
Oh, you're in Toronto. Great, great.
You said you got a storm there today?
Yeah, we have quite a bit of snow today. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's the first big one. We had one a couple of weeks ago, and now we have another one, but it's no big deal. We're Canadian.
Yeah. It's Canada, right?
To be expected, yeah.
How are you guys all doing?
We're doing great. Yeah, we're nice and toasty in the southern states down here.
except for Winnipeg. He's doing okay in Winnipeg over there.
Oh, that's true.
Can't complain. Yeah.
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 Plus one, not a lot of snow. I'm loving
it's only
it.
Minus one in Toronto. So
not too bad. That's not bad. That's not.
Yeah, now, that's not
that's
too bad. Yeah.
4 degrees away from calling the military, though. You know, they got to get that taken care of.
Yeah. Now, Jim,
I get to because I lived there too. I know what it's like. Yeah.
You probably thought today you're going to come on and talk about music, but I have to ask you about all your outdoor adventures because I know you love canoeing and all that kind of stuff. Is that right?
Oh yeah, I haven't been on a canoe trip in about 5 years because I usually go in August when there's less bugs. But then that's when all the festivals are. The festivals in Canada and in Europe are at that time. So I haven't been able to go in a few years. But I do go up north, and I spend a lot of time up there. Yeah, love it.
Did you ever do the Nunavik trip that you were talking about? I saw in an interview where you were hoping to do something like that.
Nunavik? No, I haven't been up there yet. That's somewhere. I won't go there in the winter, though.
Right.
That'd be gnarly. Just to point out to people where Nunavut is. North. That's like...
It used to be part of the Northwest Territories, and they split it up. It's the eastern half of that. So Baffin Island and all that. And
you don't go much further than that before you're at Santa Claus's house, basically. Yeah.
I think he has a zip code there.
If you fly from Baffin Island east, you're in Greenland, which is part of Denmark.
Crazy.
Depends on how you pronounce it. The ongoing joke is, do you want to go there? And people will say, I'll have none of it.
There you go. There you go. It writes itself.
Yeah.
I just watched. Yeah,
I managed to get away when I can.
That's awesome.
To get away when I can. So it's
awesome. Awesome.
You know, that's great.
Right. Have you seen the documentary Alone Across the Arctic?
Oh boy.
On Netflix? It's on right now on Netflix.
Really? I haven't seen that.
A Canadian dude who goes, me too. I love those documentaries. He goes all the way from, I guess, from the Arctic Circle area, and he goes all the way across to like Hudson's Bay.
Okay.
On his own, with a canoe and portaging it, like trying to make it over the
Is he alone with a film crew, or is he filming this himself?
That's what I thought, because at the start there's like drones and all that. I'm like, oh well, he's not really alone, he's got a camera crew with him. But as soon as he actually gets into it, it's just him doing all the camera work.
I see.
Yeah, there's a few of those, and a lot of books, and I've read a lot of them, and they're always really amazing to read and watch. So,
crazy.
Yeah. Wow.
Right on.
That sounds scary.
Well, now that we got the Northwest Travels out of the way.
Yeah. Well, you guys were
scary touring. Algonquin Park.
You guys were actually touring this year before this all shut down in Europe?
We left. We got home March 14th, and 2 days later, everything was locked down. And we had to cancel 4 gigs while we were out there. But we seemed to leave each city when COVID was locking down that city on the whole tour. So we managed to do 22 shows, I think, out of 26 or 7. So that's
That's not bad.
Wow, that's great. What a great ratio.
But then, of course, the whole summer and spring, everything got canceled. So.
Of course.
We're all in the same boat.
Did you ever put down roots in Europe at all? Did you ever live in Europe at any point?
Just going to ask the same thing.
Yeah. Because I know that the funny thing about Saga is, sorry to cut you off, but Saga, for those that don't know, continued to have a massive career in Europe, to the point that I think a lot of people were like, they thought you guys were a European band, I think a lot of people. And I'm like, no, they're from Canada, dude.
Yeah, that's right. Well, even in Canada, the radio stations thought we were German at first.
Right.
Anyway, wow. We all lived in England for about 8 months. That's where we wrote Worlds Apart.
Whereabouts were you in London?
Maidenhead, which is 20 miles west of London.
Okay,
a nice little nice town, and we were there for like over half a year, and then we recorded with Rupert in another part of England, and so we were there for a while. Our singer Michael Sadler lived in Saarland, Germany for 7 or 8 years.
Right.
And I've lived all over the place and spent a lot of time in Munich and things like that. So yeah,
you were born in Scotland, right?
Yes, I was born in Scotland. Came to Canada when I was 1, so I grew up here.
Oh wow, so you don't really remember anything.
I went back enough.
So you didn't keep the accent.
Friends. No, well, only when me and Barry get drunk.
Oh, I gotta see that sometime.
You will, and you'll laugh.
I can only imagine.
Do you have like a dual citizenship then, like a UK passport or anything?
Yes, I have both Canadian and British.
Great. Wow.
That's awesome.
So it's good to have the British one still for playing in Europe.
Of course.
I don't know how Brexit's going to affect that, but we'll see.
And what are the bonuses of living in Canada versus Europe, or at least the UK from your perspective?
Well, Canada to me is the great outdoors. I mean, you can't beat it, you know. So
that's true, yeah.
To me, you know, and you know, I have my friends, family are here, so and that's mainly why. But
and the Leafs, are there.
Go Leafs.
Hockey fan, right?
Speaking of which, I had a long conversation with this the other day about look out, Winnipeg Jets. So Shanahan's up there. Shanahan's got the Shanahan plan apparently to try and get the Leafs, you know, cup worthy in the forthcoming years. What are your thoughts on this? I'm only asking this as, you know, nerdy Canadian talk. Brendan Shanahan, for those that don't know, is a legendary hockey player who is now the president of the Leafs club, I believe, isn't he? Mm-hmm.
Leafs he's organization, the president. Yes. And him and Dukas should both leave. I think they need a fresh, you know.
The Shanahan plan is not working.
Yeah,
it's just not working.
So. I really don't think so. No.
Yeah. That's, you know, it's funny being from the prairies, like myself from Saskatchewan, Corey's from Saskatchewan. We never had a provincial team. You know what I mean? We never had, so we kind of gravitated to whatever. So I followed different teams a lot of the time. The Leafs I followed for a giant chunk of time. So there's a part of me that still believes it would be great to see the Leafs win a cup before I die. I was born at 67, the year that the last time they won the cup, I think. Isn't that the last time they won the cup?
Yeah.
That's crazy, dude. That's 53 years ago.
I was 9. So
wow!
I don't remember. I don't remember the game, but I remember the excitement of the city, and the Marlies also won that year. So it was kind of a cool year. So crazy. I have seen them win once.
There you go. That's all that matters.
Do you play hockey as well?
I never played hockey. It was more of a, you know, stay at home and practice. Practice accordion actually is what I started on. So
no way. Can you do you still play? Yeah.
Can you do a little solo?
It's all on the. I don't.
You
have
got one behind you
now, but behind me, no. But it's in the cupboard. But it's all on the new album with a lot of accordion on there. So
wow. So. Okay, so tell us about the new album. That's a perfect segue. Saga just did a new album. Yeah.
Okay, the new album's called Symmetry.
Ooh.
And it was recorded over the last year, and it's an acoustic album of songs that we've recorded before, but done very, very differently. I don't want to give too much away, but
tell us all the lineup.
Acoustic album with accordion?
That's an acoustic instrument.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm playing accordion, a lot of clarinet, and piano. And I also sing, as you know. So, and Ian, guitarist, of course, he's playing a lot. He's playing acoustic guitars, banjo, mandolin.
Wow!
We have an amazing violinist on there, and cello players, and it's really, really different. So,
now is this done in Toronto? Like you guys actually got together, or is this like one of those having to do it apart from one another?
Part of it, I went down to Jim's place, and he lives south of London, and I went down, I spent a few weeks at his place recording, especially doing my vocals. I like someone else being there with me, you know, recording by myself. And I did my clarinets and accordions there with him, and then I did all the rest of the stuff just, you know, but the basics were all done together, and then we went home and, you know, same as probably what you guys do, you know, and you just fill in the holes, and then we mixed it online with our friend in Nashville, and it sounds really good. It's our 23rd studio album.
Golly!
Wow,
that's amazing.
Is most of the band in the Southern Ontario area now, or are there still guys like far away?
Michael Sadler, he lives in the U.S. and the rest of us are in Canada.
Oh, okay. Wow. Yeah. That's great. Where in the U.S. is he?
Yeah, he's lived there. Well, he lived in L.A. for years, and then he moved out to Missouri.
So, oh, wow.
Cool. That's an interesting destination.
So we need to try and get him up here when they open the borders so we can do a live stream. So.
Oh, yeah, right.
Right, yeah. Yeah. You have a pain in the ass.
For the record yet?
A release date?
A release date?
It's March 12th it's released, but there'll be a couple of singles beforehand.
Oh, cool.
Oh, wow.
Very exciting.
Yeah, so...
I bet you have all the WAV files there on your laptop there. I bet you could play us a few, right?
He's the devil. It's
It's another thing where I have to hook up to the internet. And it's
look at those eyes. How do you say no to that face?
That Joan Collins camera will get you.
Okay.
Calendar. He's Mr. December.
Mr. December. So how does that, do you find, one of the interesting things about playing in Canadian rock bands, and me and Brent always talk about this a lot, the classic Canadian lineup from Loverboy to Streetheart to you guys was always one guitar player, keyboard player, bass player, lead singer, drummer. We always talk about that very sort of, like keyboards are a very prominent part of all the classic rock and roll, it still exists today, obviously, but I mean, when we look back at the Canadian music we grew up on, keyboards were a massive part of the sound. So to play those songs without those parts was always really silly. Like trying to do any of your guys' songs without your parts is just like, it's a totally different song.
I'll tell you, one of our roadies, Dean, he played your version of On the Loose. And I'm going, oh, man, that's a good recording. I thought it was us.
Wow, that's the best compliment.
Loud. You guys, you did such a great job. It was amazing, really. And I heard your cover of the Toronto song also, Daddy. And and as you know, Barry's my good friend. And
of course.
So it's great playing with him. Yeah.
Well, Corey does a lot of that. I mean, we don't really even have a keyboard player. That's the most, you know, challenging side of any of this I think it's amazing when you have that guy, especially a guy like yourself, who's apparently playing clarinets and ukuleles and the triangle and whatever else you can get your hands on. You're apparently a very musical guy.
I can be bought.
I think we need Jim in our band. Jim has to join our band.
We'll have to talk to your agent. Be like, are you a free agent now? It's just like a hockey talk again, trying to get you to come in.
Yeah, I'm a free agent.
Yeah, but put aside all those gold records. You're talking to a Grammy nominated artist here.
That's right.
Yeah. I know. Congratulations.
Grammy nominated. You know what? I'm going to talk to Brendan Shanahan and see if we can't get your digits together and get you down here.
I'm interested to know, Jim. Like, you're so classically versed. Did you start, you know, listening to classical as a kid, or where did you start?
Well, I mean, I did study music at University of Toronto. I am classically trained. But I was actually going to opera school. I wanted to be an opera singer.
Wow.
No way. Wow.
That didn't work out.
Cool.
Wow.
That didn't work out. So I had to figure out what else I could do. So I started
practicing the piano. So you had rock and roll as a fallback. You know, I want to be an opera singer, but I'll play rock and roll. Do you have to learn, like, Italian and shit like that for opera?
Italian, German, French, yes. You have to learn all those. You don't understand what it means. You just have to know how to pronounce it.
Phonetically just sing the stuff,
Exactly. Yeah. Your teacher kind of helps you along. But then I just really practiced piano. I didn't start actual piano till I was 17. So I really had to practice that. But I had accordion, so I knew music.
As a kid,
you were playing accordion?
Yeah, since I was 9.
Wow.
Since I was 9. I used to play, I'm Scottish, so my background was Scottish jigs and Celtic music and things like that.
So no interest in the bagpipes? No bad.
Thank place. You. I was just about to go there.
Yeah.
We've all yeah, down.
Piper Dune. I love to listen to them, but no, I don't think the neighbors would like it.
They sound super challenging. Although even the accordion is so much more involved because the actual physical aspect of pushing the air plus playing the keys is just, it's like this for me. Yeah, I don't know why I do that.
Yeah, it's one of those things. And the left hand, I play button, like the left hand side are all buttons. So
right,
you get
right.
After a while, I mean, it takes a long time to learn it, but to me, it's kind of second nature now.
And just while going, it's like,
you yeah, it's kind of
like, yes, right? It's like
that's a good look there, Shane. Yeah. That's a good look.
Do that without
what are you doing?
loop that without the audio and put in whatever you want, really.
if you did that with Corey's hair and background, oh, this would be
I think he's gonna have a restraining order against himself by the end of this.
My friends were stopped and they had kind of a big family. So inevitably every time we went over there where someone could pick up the accordion. really give her on that thing.
It looks like you're wiping barbecue sauce on your shirt. I'm not quite sure what's going on.
As soon as you pick an accordion up, you put a smile on someone's face.
Yeah.
I bet. Absolutely. And a skip in someone's step.
I seem to think I was.
Yeah.
Every time I ever tried to play the accordion, I failed. It's a tricky one.
It's challenging. That's why when you talk about the bagpipes, that's also really physical and really probably an awful thing to hear somebody learning, I bet. But yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
And you're torturing
stuck,
cats.
You're stuck on one key the whole time.
Yeah, exactly. That droning note.
Yeah. Well, that's what gives it the haunting sense, you know. And,
totally.
And
totally,
when you're going over the top and you got the piper in front of you, that's going to give you courage. It's almost
that's
like
true.
Getting on stage.
You know? Yeah, exactly. We should walk on stage with pipers.
When you think of when you think of instruments like that, you think of something like the accordion, and of course, I'm sure I'm not the only one. My mind always goes to Weird Al and the guys that always talk about growing up and saying, well, how do I translate playing the accordion into, you know, playing rock and roll music? How did the transition come? You know, did you just decide that you were going to take this and parlay that into keyboards and kind of go there?
I guess this thing
pretty
turns
much
into this thing, yeah.
Yeah, I
mean. Yeah, yeah. That's why I said I really had to practice my left hand. I mean, my right hand was already fine, so I had to practice left hand on piano. So I spent a lot of time doing that.
Cool.
And then, you know, in the last few years, I've been playing accordion more again, so it's kind of cool.
Full circle. I love it.
Yeah.
I often feel sorry for keyboard players because, you know, as a guitarist, you buy a guitar, like let's say you buy a Les Paul, you save up all your money, you buy a Les Paul, and 30 years down the road, that Les Paul is worth so much more money, you know, and your gear never changes, right? All that stuff is still pertinent from back in the 80s to now.
Right.
Whereas keyboard players are always chasing technology and they always have to spend their hard-earned cash and buying the latest and greatest and then learning how to use it and program it all, right?
Yeah, well, it's funny though when I bought my Yamaha CS80. I don't know if you remember what was a big, huge Yamaha synth, which I unfortunately sold it a few years ago. But you know, I took out most kids were taking out car loans. I took out a CS80 loan, and then I took out a PPG loan, and then start getting a little
those
famous.
Sound so much more important when you put those numbers and letters on it. It sounds like something. Were you buying a hotel chain or something? No.
Somebody's commenting on here, Dave, saying you're kind of rooted to one spot as a keyboard player, much like the drummer. And obviously, we've ignored, you know, bringing up the most influential instrument of all time, the keytar.
Uh-huh.
Of course, yes.
You know,
yes.
I mean, it did allow for some movement.
You've rocked a keytar in your life, Jim, let's be honest. Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah, I have. Yeah. I'm ashamed to admit, but yes.
No shame.
Not at all. They're super cool.
Somebody never mastered the old, like, Steve Vai around the neck thing with a keytar. Now, that would be impressive.
That would be
cool.
And dangerous.
That's a good idea.
It's a lot heavier than
Steve Vai doing the around the neck thing?
Yeah,
he did.
I thought that was like Vito Bratta's fucking thing when he did the.
Yeah, but, you know, but Cinderella would do it in like in tandem.
Backwards. Oh, in tandem.
Like, together, they would like.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. It was a very. It was a thing at the time.
It was a thing. Yeah. But it would have been cool to get three of them. One with the keytar in there. Then yeah, for sure.
Mine was. I always had a Les Paul really low, so if I even tried it, it would like tear your head off. It would be a terrible idea.
Yeah, well, your guitar strap would have hit the other guy on the other side of the stage, yeah.
I know, the land of the guitar, giant guitar straps. But yeah, no, I think it's a really interesting thing because of what keyboards... I mean, in Took, we, without even really thinking about it in our own music, the keyboards have become such a big part of the sound, and I think it really sort of separates it from anything else that I've ever been involved in. And I think that it's one of those things that, you know, I've never really been able to indulge in that because I've always, you know, to be honest, I play with a lot of jackasses in my life, and none of them are as musical as you. Except now Corey can, like, you know, make magic in his lab.
I'm forcing the keyboards on these guys, and they're always giving me notes about the mixes saying, yeah, a little bit less keyboards. And I'm like, what? More?
I hear that every day.
Oh, no. So you're saying that keyboard is your cowbell.
There you go.
More keyboards.
But it's funny because as a guitar player, Corey, as the guitar player, it's usually quite the opposite. It's usually the guitar is just really, really hot in the mix. But he's actually very, very modest about the guitar and really likes the production of keyboard stuff. I like the difference.
Right on.
What's that, Shane?
We tell him to turn up the guitar, which never happens.
Yeah.
I know. You never had to tell a guitar player that before. Yeah.
Yeah.
Never.
No, never. I mean, usually it's like when you're at a show, it's the only thing you can hear, like a kick drum and the guitar, usually.
So yeah, when you got your CS80, Jim, is that when you first started learning about synthesis and programming and that sort of thing?
Yeah. Yes, that's exactly right. Because it was actually a pretty easy instrument to learn. There was no patch chords or anything. Everything was
right
in front of you. And you just experimented. It took, you know, it took a few months, and then I got the hang of it. Then I learned what a VCA was and a VCO was. And
you guys have lost me completely. Stuff.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. It's so complicated that to be good at piano is one thing, but to actually be good at synthesis, and you guys have exploited everything there is to do with synthesis. And it's just amazing. And
yeah.
I'm wondering how with 300 songs and you go to prepare your set list, it probably takes you forever to recall some of those sounds and reprogram and then learn the parts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, some of these parts I'm going, I really wrote that? Come on.
Yeah, but the cool thing is,
you gotta be kidding.
You've been around where you brought like multiple pieces on the road. So back in the day, a keyboard player had this like Keith Emerson, like, you know, situation going on. Like you were back. And I always thought that looked really rad. Like that kind of like Rick Wakeman kind of, there's a organ, there's a electric piano, you know, it's like, now it's sort of like, I see guys condense everything down to like that X frame keyboard and, you know, like Nine Inch Nails and those kind of guys, everything is in the one keyboard. They can just muck around. I love that look of multiple pieces like that.
So do I.
You don't see that as much.
I do too. Well, because, I mean, everyone's flying around nowadays and they have to fly a lot of times, you know, and like for me, I mean, I took out big rigs for years and years, but the last couple, I've got all the sounds on my Mac and I have two controllers and I use two Korgs on the bottom. So it still looks pretty cool.
But, of course.
I'll be honest. I try to emulate all the sounds I had.
Anytime I walk into my kitchen, I'm always pretending I'm Doug Johnson from Loverboy, just on both the island and the sink. You know, I'm just kind of like rocking. Yeah, like some of those guys would have the crazy reach. You know? I'm like not even sure they were really doing anything.
We've got a comment coming from the audience.
Jim's beer tech here.
Ask him about the time back in the 80s. We got caught by the local police urinating against Edinburgh Castle before Magnum Day.
Oh, I know Edinburgh Castle very well. Wow. Yeah, Fitz and I spent a lot of time in Edinburgh.
Do tell.
Jim's the reason why none of us Canadians are allowed to go to Edinburgh Castle anymore.
Yeah,
No, yeah, that sounds like your classic.
I was walking down Main Street.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
Tell us about
walking
it.
Walking down the Main Street in Wishaw, which is a little small town near Glasgow, and I hear and the Saga first album had just been out, and I was down in London working on the Worlds Apart album, and I took the train up to see my family, and I'm walking down the street, and I hear these two guys talking about Saga. No one knew who we were in Britain, and so I walked up to these guys, told them, well, I'm in Saga. Like, so we became friends, and then we went to see Magnum. You remember that band Magnum?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
So we were drinking beer all day, and we went to see Magnum, and we had to, you know, go to the washroom, and we went against the bottom of Edinburgh Castle. And this cop comes up to us, says, "You dirty weed bastards, get them."
We might have to retract that. Actually, Barry's on here. He says, "Do not acknowledge Ian Gordon."
Barry. Hey, Barry.
Hey, Barry.
He knows Ian Gordon also. Ian, exactly. Yeah, Ian now lives in England, but he's Scottish. But
amazing.
I can't believe he would.
I think Barry Connors probably has urinated on the Parliament buildings a time or two. Let's be honest.
And more.
Marking his territory. I get it. It's a male thing. That's amazing. Totally. Yeah. I was going to say, you know, really quickly, as where I grew up in the prairies, where most of these guys grew up, Saga was referred to as Saga. Have you heard that in Canada?
You completely broke up.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was saying how in the prairies, especially, Saga is pronounced Saga. Have you ever heard that? Of course you have. Because
they've even pronounced it Sega. You know,
Sega, exactly. Sorry.
Like the video game console. Yeah.
No, it's funny exactly, because you know when you live in the States, there's pasta and then there's pasta, or I drive a Mazda or a Mazda. You know, like that kind of thing. So and I, every time I hear Saga, I go, yeah, of course it's called Saga. But that's an endless debate, like
true enough,
whether the Rush song is YYZ or YYZ. We can have that conversation all day long. But I'm assuming in Ontario, you guys were called Saga, referred to yourself as Saga.
Yeah, most people. I mean, there was the odd Saga, you know. If you're from Scarborough, you probably say Saga.
So sure, exactly.
I got my pronunciation from Star Wars, the Star Wars saga, whenever the commercial would come on. That's
there you go.
So, yeah. But I think my brother said Sega. Yeah.
The Star Wars saga.
We had a conversation last week about Yamaha, and then somebody was, or this is where I guess the corrections are going to come in, and a whole bunch of comments said, I can't believe you guys call it Yamaha. How is it pronounced? In the U.S.
Yamaha.
Pronounce that? Is it Yamaha?
Yamaha?
I don't know. Is it Yamaha? Yeah. I don't know. There was about 40 comments on there, people saying that. I know how Canadians say Yamaha. I'm like,
Yamaha.
Yeah.
Sounds right to me.
But it would be Yamaha.
Yamaha. Actually, is it a Japanese word, Shane? Yamaha.
Hi.
Only band in the world to put the phonetics in there, and they didn't even mean to do it. Motley Crue. I mean, you know, we got to start sounding these things out, right?
Yeah. I think we should put more umlauts in things.
Yeah.
Saga. Umlaut.
Yeah. Saga.
The best is Spinal Tap has like umlauts over like consonants, like a P or a T or something like that.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
I know. It's such a subtle joke that it has to be there.
Yeah. now Saga has had
that, really.
You guys have had a lot of drummers over the years. Is this where Spinal Tap got the combustible drummer theory?
Could be. I mean,
it could be.
I mean, I've heard of lots of bands thinking that movie was about them.
Yeah, exactly.
I heard Scorpions walked out of the theater when they went to see it.
I read a thing where Judas Priest was on the Defenders of the Faith tour, and they had a big, gigantic skull with, you know, it was a big monster as a background. And in the Spinal Tap movie, they sat down, and then the band has this giant skull with horns, and they all looked at each other like, oh boy. I was just checking the Spinal Tap logo, and it's the umlaut is over the N in the middle of Spinal Tap, which doesn't make sense.
Spinal.
Yeah. Spinal Tap, exactly. I mean,
this is the best part of the internet and texting, when they say, okay, you can never text something, because this is the best thing I've seen all day. I'm Japanese, and yes, Corey is correct for Yamaha pronunciation. So it Yamaha. Really all comes down to how Yamaha. It doesn't explain how we say it, though. It's still just
how is Darren fucking it up? Sorry, that's all we want to know.
That's exactly so already, yeah. Pretty much, yeah.
I don't think you are. It doesn't sound weird to me.
If we can get the actual dictionary phonetics, that would be fantastic.
You want to hear a long conversation? Is that Americans will always correct me on like pasta, pasta, Mazda, Mazda, and then for some reason, Nevada is Nevada, not Nevada, which I think Nevada
right.
is Canadian pronunciation of Nevada.
You know. Nevada.
Nevada. So there you go.
Nevada.
Well, it's like sorry and sorry. Do they say porridge or do they say porridge?
I don't know if they eat porridge.
Oh, that okay, sounds maybe like not.
But I somebody else pointed that out to me too, though, is that words like worry are spelled W-O-R-R-Y, and it's worry, not worry.
Yeah.
Worry. So, that's conversation. It's regional.
But English can be very complicated.
Yeah.
Well, they say it's the hardest language to learn because, one, we have multiple spellings, and two, multiple meanings, right? I mean,
yeah, for the same spell. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Present, you know, for instance. You know,
yeah.
So.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, show of hands. Pasta? Pasta? Or pasta?
It depends where you are. Pasta.
I'm gonna go a twofer. I'm pasta. Gonna say it's pasta when I'm purchasing it and pasta when I'm serving it. Just because it sounds, you know,
more classy.
Yeah.
You're trying to impress your wife with the pasta?
Exactly. Yeah.
She sees right through you, sir.
Oh, of course. I know, but when you have a nice dinner, I'm making pasta. But when you're like, hey, can you grab some pasta when you're out at the Sobeys? You
know, it's funny because I've been watching Schitt's Creek, and it being a Canadian show, but they try to play it really nondescript as to where they are. And once in a while, they'll be like, hey, we made some Nanaimo bars. And I'll be like,
yeah,
that's very Canadian.
Yeah. I have yet to make it through a full episode of that show. I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, my wife thinks it's the most hilarious show ever, but I haven't been able to sit down and watch a whole episode.
Same.
It took me three episodes and I was just into it. Yeah.
Same with me. It was like three episodes. I was kind of like, yeah, there were some things I loved about it. And then you get sucked in. And then
you do.
Once you get in.
Yeah, I could probably see it. It just seemed like it was really dry and really slow to start. So I don't know. Maybe it was just.
Well, what's her name? Catherine O'Hara's accent gets crazier and crazier as you go along.
I mean, I think all the characters sort of develop and a thing where you can't, it's like Dexter or whatever, you get sucked in and you got to watch the whole thing.
Yeah, true. Yeah, exactly. It's like the first two seasons of Saga, the band. They really developed their characters. When they finally got Jim Gilmore, then it really came together. So.
Well, that's kind of true, right? I mean, that's when all those great keyboard riffs, 100%. Classic. Yeah, that was the lineup, right?
You thought I was just fooling around with this Schitt's Creek talk. I was like, I was segging it into songs.
Working up.
Yeah.
Yeah, they used to call me the good luck charm when I joined. So, because things just, not just because of me, it just seemed, everything seemed to happen at once. So, and they took me in right away. I started writing right away when I didn't even know what I was doing. And, you know, because I was, that song is really my first band. So,
wow.
So crazy. Really no.
Well, there's something to be said about
I had one band before.
Oh, really? Yeah, you were the singer in that band, yes?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's so
cool. It was an Italian opera project?
Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. We did Gentle Giant and ELP and Yes and things like that. And
oh, wow.
That's how I got my, you know, stuff like that. Stuff that me and Barry love.
Sure. Yeah. That's definitely for musicians, for sure. You know, being able to kind of hang on those kind of music.
How did you find your style going into the all those Saga songs? Like, was it a group thing that brought it out in you, or did you already have your ideas in your head? Like, you know, for let's take like the On the Loose intro, that whole thing. Like, do you remember when that happened?
Iconic moment. I remember. I do. We were in a rehearsal hall in Toronto, and I just started playing ding 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 ding, and Jim suggested, "Why don't I go ding ding ding?" You know, make it like that. And then we recorded that on cassette. And then when we moved to Maidenhead, I remember walking down to the pub with Michael Sadler, and he had it on his cassette, and he said, "This could make a great verse." And I always remember that. And I went, "Oh yeah, probably right." So. And then we brought it and rehearsed it the next day and wrote the whole song around that. So
amazing.
That's so crazy. Wow.
It's one of those things.
Play live for sure. Live when we play that.
I like
one.
How you guys do it too.
Yeah. Oh, thanks.
Somebody's trying to keep up with you guys. Somebody's asking here, and I'm going to do my best to probably try to translate what they're asking. And I guess it would be more or less. Is it going to be old songs done acoustically, or is this a new album with new songs?
No, it's our songs that we have with lots of added extras. I mean, there's instrumental parts and there's arrangements that definitely weren't included. It's a new way to look at our old songs. It's not just playing three chords, you know, on a guitar and sing along to it. So what, much more than that. So,
and accordion.
And
there's accordion.
Yeah, there's accordion and clarinet and banjo.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Banjo.
Crazy. I didn't even know you could play banjo. That's mental.
Not me, Ian.
Okay.
No, that's mental. Yeah, that's crazy. I mean,
amazing.
Between the five of you guys cover a lot of instruments.
I'm really happy with it.
Great. Well, that's exciting.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to know more. Channel Giant.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So this is an obvious. Well, I shouldn't say obvious, but one of the more common questions. Somebody's saying, "What do you think the key is to keeping band together and going for so long as it has been?" You guys have a hidden secret, or is it just
not really?
Sounds like a wild kitchen party.
It's not like we see each other every day, probably the same as you guys, right? So we have our space, but we do talk a lot, or you know, send texts or whatever, or almost every other day or something. So we're all friends. So
sure,
and we all get along fine, and we respect each other, and we all love what we do, you know. So. Mm-hmm. And we can't wait to get back on the road again. This is, like you guys, it's not normal, you know?
No, I know.
To be stuck at home, you know, it's not normal.
It's so weird.
But
it's going on 9 months. It's going on 9 months, which is a hard thing to wrap your head around. It's like, wow, it's so weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, we got home March 14th from Frankfurt Airport, and I went to the pub the next day to see all my friends. And then the very next day, everything was locked down. So we were all planning for St. Paddy's Day and everything, but no, that was all closed. So, but anyway, we'll get through it.
Yeah,
exactly. 2021. Have you guys already got stuff on the calendar for 2021?
Oh yeah, a lot of stuff that we already had booked has been moved. So like, we had a lot of big shows.
Was there Europe
and the. Yeah, mainly Europe, but I'm sure there's some here too.
Cool. That's great. Yeah.
So whatever happened to the drummer, Steve?
Pardon me?
Steve, I don't know how you say his last name. Negus? He was Negus. In the band. Negus. Oh. Thank you. Yeah, what is he doing these days? Because you guys had a project together.
I'm not quite sure. Yeah, that was a long time ago, and I haven't talked to him in years, so I really don't know what he's doing.
Yeah, I tried to do a little bit of research on him to see where he went, and there was really nothing, so.
Yeah, I don't know what he's doing, really.
Yeah, okay.
I know Chris Sutherland was playing with you.
Chris Sutherland, yeah.
Yeah, he played drums.
Was it Chris Sutherland playing and touring with you guys?
He did two tours, I think, with us. Yeah. And then he went on to do Kim Mitchell and everything else. So.
And then he died tragically.
Yeah, he combusted. Spontaneously combusted.
Bizarre gardening accident. Chris is a wonderful guy and a great drummer, yeah. Yeah, and I'm sure it must have been a big thrill for him playing with you guys, because I know he's a massive fan of Saga.
Totally.
Well, it was different for him. He's never played progressive rock before, so it was different.
It's a totally different animal, 100%. Shane Gallis, you should throw your hat in that ring, sir.
Yes.
Yeah, it's hard to remember all those colors.
Here, somebody has the answer you're looking for. I'm not sure how correct it is, but...
Okay, there you go.
We're great. There you go. Peter Roshan. Roshan, depending on where you are.
I'm not sure. That's exciting. We'll keep an eye on that.
Peter Roshan was Saga's first keyboard player, so they played together on the first Saga album.
So cool. Wow, that's going back. Yeah. There you go.
That's going back.
Yeah.
More than 2 years.
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, man.
Yeah, we want to thank you for giving your time to us today. I know you're a busy guy, and
not really, but
we were supposed to have you on a couple weeks back. You too. Yeah,
yeah, and maybe we can all do something together sometime. Barry would love to do some work with you guys too. So
there you go.
So we'll put together a super duper
group.
Absolutely.
That's the band name, guys. Super Duper Group. SDG.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, fantastic. Well, thanks for coming on the show. Appreciate you taking the time. And thanks, everybody, for tuning in. And we'll talk to everybody next Tuesday.
Keep your eyes peeled for Symmetry.
All righty.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Bye, Jim. Bye, everybody.
Jim.
Yeah, we'll see you later, guys.